Blog Talk Radio.
All right, you're listening to Horror Dork. This is our first episode ever live. Joining me tonight is Mr. Sir, my partner in crime.
What up?
We're going to be talking upcoming horror movies. We got five specifically that we're talking about. The trailers, in fact, for Shut-In, Split, Rings, Bye Bye Man, and Ouija Origins of Evil. I totally said that wrong. We're going to be talking a little bit about what Horror Dork is, what we were, what we are now, what we like about horror, what we don't, and what you can expect from future episodes. So, first up, I guess we'll just get the kind of bad-looking trailers out the way. Bye Bye Man.
Yeah. Bye Bye Man. You know, man, that movie looks terrible.
I don't know. Like, the trailer looks interesting, but it kind of just has that total schlock feel to it.
Yeah, like, there's so many things that I'm not super wild about, like how the movie looks, the name of the movie. Like, picture going to, like, your local theater, and you got to tell the ticket person that you want tickets to Bye Bye Man. Like, you got to say those words out loud to another human being.
Yeah, that's funny. I guess that's not the worst thing that you could go to theaters and have said in the past, but yeah, I see your point there.
Yeah. I guess based on a short story, but in the trailers it says it's based on a true story, which if you watch this trailer, basically it's about like this personified force that makes people kill.
Yeah. You know, he kind of reminds me of the ghoul or whatever it was from that movie with Ethan Hawke. What was it
Sinister.
Called?
Sinister.
Sinister, yeah. Which I do enjoy. I just had a brain fart there. It kind of reminds me of that and like a variation of The Tall Man with Jessica Biel.
Yeah, I didn't see that one. You told me about it, though, the promotional items for that movie kind of made it look like the monster or whatever was like a Spider-Man kind of thing.
Yeah, but that's what they were supposed to kind of draw in as an audience, just people that were interested in that. But
yeah, the twist you told me about it is kind of underwhelming.
Yeah. All right. Well, next up is Rings. You know, the movie looks like it's. What's that?
Oh, I'm pretty excited for Rings.
It looks like a greatest hits of both movies.
Yeah, it does. You're right.
I mean, if you're going in there expecting like the next horror masterpiece, like Psycho or something like that, I mean, you're going to the wrong movie for sure. But just some of those scenes in there, it's just total gross out fun. Like where she's pulling that piece of hair out of her mouth.
That
and it's just
disgusting.
This long strand. Like how does that much hair get in someone's body?
It's so gross. It's like you're watching like one of those popping YouTube videos where someone's getting like something extracted from them. It's super gross.
Here's
the part that really like kind of like sold me on it is it's near the end of the trailer, and all of a sudden the fucking Ring video starts popping up on an airplane and like everybody's screen. I thought that was pretty cool.
Oh yeah, that is pretty cool. I mean, I don't know about the whole aspect if they really need to go over what happens every single day during that 7 days, because in the original they kind of glossed over it for good reason. 7 days is a lot of time to cover.
Yeah, it's a week of somebody like who is in their mind.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, I don't know. I'm guarded on that, but I think the trailer made it look good.
For sure, for sure. What do you think about Ouija, our next movie we're talking about, Origins of Evil?
Part of me kind of wants to see it because there were some like genuinely creepy looking things in that trailer. Another part of me, I'm just not into like those ghost possession movies. And
gotcha.
That one is toy. You can go to the store, and that's like their whole thing in the trailers. Like, it's not a toy, but like, yeah, fucking Hasbro puts it out.
Well, it really looks like they're trying to have fun with it, though.
It does. And when the little girl like is like pretty eerie, like I don't little creepy little kid movies are. Ugh.
Yeah. Yeah, I know you. It's like that and Dolls are like your kryptonite when it comes to stuff in the theater.
Yeah. This wasn't one of the movies that we we're going to talk about, but there is a teaser trailer for Annabelle 2.
I know. I seen that.
I didn't care for the Annabelle movie.
It was what it was. I don't know. Like I didn't hate it. I didn't get on the hate train for that movie. I just feel there was a lot of mixed reviews when it came to that movie too.
The beginning of the movie where they have like the cult people.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Charles Manson kind of like.
Yeah, I thought that the movie. I'm like, all right, this movie is actually going to be kind of interesting. And then it has nothing to do with the rest of the movie. Well, I mean, you know, as far as how the rest of the movie plays out.
See, here's the thing that I don't get about the Annabelle sequel is that it's a prequel about the doll Annabelle. But the doll didn't start if it's even following the same, like, story, the doll becomes best when that chick dies holding it in the first one.
Oh, yeah.
I don't get it. I don't get why this movie is necessary. Other than
cash,
we're just
money.
Gonna make enough. Yeah, exactly.
You know, and with The Conjuring being so successful and this being a spinoff of it, it's just gonna milk in so much cash.
Yeah, well, they're spinning off that nun character.
Yeah, I see that.
From The Conjuring 2.
Mm-hmm.
I missed that part of the movie. I only saw like half of it.
Oh, you did?
Conjuring 2. Yeah, and what I saw, I wasn't super impressed with, honestly.
Yeah, speaking of Conjuring and Annabelle, I still remember when we went to see that in theaters, and this is one of my favorite stories to tell, is when we're watching it, and those kids come home, and they've already had Annabelle at their house, and they left her there, and then it comes back, and she wrote in, like, red marker all over the house, like, play with me, play with me, play with me. You're just like, fuck that, if I had to go killing myself right there. Blow my brains out.
If that shit happened to me in real life, I'd die. I would literally just kill myself. It's awful. That would be so terrible.
It would be awful. All right, so next up, Split. Man.
Man, I think this movie looks great. Looks
yeah.
So cool. It's a... Now, people would be like, ugh, another M. Night Shyamalan movie. But you know what?
Yeah.
I really liked The Visit. I thought it was excellent.
I did, too. I definitely loved The Visit a lot.
And I know a certain somebody that does... That just has
yeah.
a hate on anything M. Night. But I think if he didn't know that it was an M. Night movie, he probably would like The Visit more. Because
yeah.
there is just something so creepy about those old people. This one is, it's like a, I can't tell if it's like, if there's going to be like a supernatural element to it or if it's just like this weird psychological horror movie. But
my guess is that they're going to tease the supernatural element and it's just going to be some psychological twist. I don't know. You know, like, M. Night Shyamalan always has to have a twist.
Yeah.
And
I mean,
I feel like...
For better or for worse. I mean, it worked with The Visit. It didn't work so much with The Village.
No.
The
Village. Yeah. The Village was middle of the road and then, yeah, with The Happening... Awful. Awful.
Yeah. That movie
but with Split, it's interesting because the trailer starts off and these girls are getting out of high school or looks more like middle school. And all of a sudden, guy gets in the car and they think it's like her dad or whatever. And then they look and it's James McAvoy and someone that they don't know. You can just read it right in the body language right away. And he sprays the stuff in their face and makes them pass out. So they wake up and they're in the cell, and it almost has a feel like Cloverfield Lane, 13 Cloverfield Lane.
Yeah.
Or whatever the name of the
movie
is.
I really like. And Cloverfield Lane.
Yeah. At 13. And they wake up in the cell, and then James McAvoy comes in and, you know, is talking, and they're kind of peeking through the crack afterwards, and they see this lady out there, and they're like, yo, help us, help us. And then the lady comes in, and it's James McAvoy dressed in like a long black skirt and like a heavy, like old woman, red sweater. But it's him with a shaved head, and he's totally gone Norman Bates mother role. And he says, you know, like, he listens to me, you'll be safe, I'm going to tell him not to hurt you. And then it shows him again, and he's a little kid, and he has all these multiple personalities that live at different times but are conscious in his brain. It just looks so intriguing.
I got a real Raising Kane vibe from that movie trailer.
Yes, precisely. And then there's a part, and this is the part I wanted to talk about, is when you're talking about Supernatural, and I bet this is going to tie into the twist, is when that you hear like this growling noise. Because the dangerous personality is all the other personalities called the Beast. And you hear this growling noise and they say the Beast is real, blah, blah, blah. And the girl turns around and it doesn't show what she sees. It's just a reaction shot. But my guess, that's going to be the twist right there. You're going to find out whether it's a supernatural thing or some kind of weird twist we haven't even thought of yet.
He's going to be wearing some fucking mask or some shit. It's going to be creepy.
Man.
I'm looking forward to seeing that movie.
Yeah, me too. That was a good call on your part because you picked that trailer out. And I had heard a little bit about it, but I hadn't investigated into it.
Yeah, I think that movie looks great.
Yeah.
Last one is one that you suggested. I can't remember if I saw this on YouTube, but I'm pretty sure I saw it in theaters when I saw 31. It's called Shut In.
Yes. Oh, Shut In looks awesome.
I think part of me thinks it could be super good. Like, but another part of me thinks that it might have a lame twist that just kind of like takes all the air out of it.
Yeah, they're going to need some writer muscle. I mean, it's going to show in the script.
Yeah, so
when we see
the movie, and I got a real Patrick. Have you ever watched that movie? I know I talked about it before.
It's Patrick, the Australian movie or whatever it is.
Yeah, with the dude that's like he's in a coma, mm-hmm. but like he's got like mental abilities. And he like all he can do with communicate is to spit.
Oh, you mean Amityville Awakening, the movie that was filmed like 3 fucking years ago and still isn't out yet?
Yeah, that movie got pushed back again. So did Ring. I forgot to mention that. Rings got moved because of Ouija.
That makes more sense, too, for Rings to come out a little later.
Yeah, that one's coming out, I think, early 2017, which is a good... Historically, now, like the past couple of years, late winter, early spring has been an awesome, awesome time for horror movies to come out. They always crush it.
It used to be, and it wasn't that long ago. Yeah, it was just a dumping ground. Like all these movies would come out in January, February, and you just would, your best bet was not even to watch them on DVD. Just wait for them to come streaming. Because I remember there was movies like one particular one that comes to mind is, I know you know what I'm going to say here, is Texas Chainsaw 3D. That came out in January.
Incredible.
And that was the worst thing to wound your retina since God knows what.
The movie was super bad.
But, yeah, so Shut In is interesting. So, basically, her husband, it's Naomi Watts, her husband and her son were in an accident where they were hit by a truck. And the son survived, but he's in a vegetative state, and the dad he didn't make it. So she's kind of taking care of it, but her voiceover in the trailer says she feels like her son died that day and she's just taking care of a body that she has to feed and clean up. And she's also like a grief counselor, and she meets this kid who is pretty damaged. He doesn't want any kind of attention or anything, and they're going to ship him off to Boston. And that was not set on purpose to be a pun for Dropkick Murphys. I don't know, like, it's weird because, like, she takes him back to the house so he doesn't have to, takes her back to her house where she's taking care of her son, who's like a teenager, or young 20s. And he, like, runs away into the snow at nighttime or something. And the way that the trailer makes it seem is that he froze to death. Like they say in the news, there's no way the kid could have survived this and that. But it seems like his ghost is, like, haunting them, and it's doing something to the son.
Yeah, Oliver Platt's in it, and he's, like...
Yes.
I don't know if he's, like, her friend or something. It's not established in the trailer, but he's, like, it's all in your head. You need to go out and do more stuff, like, get out of the house. She's like, no, seriously, there's something fucked up happening. Because her son's got, like, scratches on him, and there's bloody handprints on the wall. And one shot, there's her car window smashed in. She's like, I can prove it. Part of me thinks, I mean, I don't even think this would be a lame twist if it was seriously just all in her head and she's just going slowly nuts.
Yeah, because that seemed like that was the underlying thing they were trying to hint at. It's like, you can't tell the difference between your awake and your nightmares.
Yeah, because she's also having trouble sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they said on the trailer for it. But
yeah,
and
it's really stressing her out.
I'm also thinking that they probably might actually just drop a ghost into that movie.
I don't know.
It would be really dumb.
That's what it seems like they want you to think.
Oh, yeah. Well, because one part where she's, like, almost asleep, and then, like, a little gray hand, like, goes over her mouth.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's supposed to be, like, a dream sequence or something. But...
And it cut to, like, a thing where, I don't know if it was supposed to be her husband or what, but it looked like some guy was, like, all burnt up or something for, like, a split second.
Yeah.
He, like, crept through like a crack in the door or something. So yeah, it's definitely going to be a mental thing. And you know, with the ghost thing, if it's not a ghost angle, they probably cut the trailer to look like that, because I know we've talked about it a lot. We live in the ghost generation. That's our movies. Like, you know, when we were younger, it was like the teen slashers. And before that, it was slasher mass maniacs and stuff. You know, we've gone through all that stuff. And found footage has made like a big comeback, but we definitely live in the ghost generation here.
Yeah, we're kind of living. It's kind of going through, like, found footage is going right out of style again. So I think we're not going to see many more found footage movies. I mean, there haven't been any like super original takes on it in a while.
No.
Unfriended is the last one that I can think of. That was even remotely original. And that
movie
did
was you see The Den?
I have not seen The Den. That's on Netflix, right?
Yeah, it was. I don't know if it's still streaming or not. I was just curious, like, how you would compare that to Unfriended.
Yeah, it's like thing, right? Where
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe we can do that in a future episode too. Is you'll watch The Den and I'll finish Unfriended, because I never actually finished the whole thing.
Yeah, I thought Unfriended was all right. I hated the premise. I honestly, when I saw the trailers for it, I thought it was really bad and dumb.
Yeah,
but
I remember talking a lot of shit about it.
I remember watching it, and it was honestly not bad.
All right, cool. Yeah, I'll definitely have to check that out. So out of all the movies, what do you think you're most excited for?
Split, for sure.
Oh, not Bye Bye Man.
No. Bye Bye Man is something that I'm probably not going to watch.
Yeah, I don't know. I really think Shut-In looks good from the trailer, but it does have me pretty worried.
Yeah, I mean, Split, Shut-In are definitely the ones I'm really excited for. Rings, I mean, I probably won't see it in theaters, but you know, as soon as it's on demand or on Blu-ray or whatever, I'll watch it. Ouija, my wife will probably want to see it, so I'll
Right.
probably watch it. Not maybe not in theaters, but again, like on demand. And Bye Bye Man, unless somebody makes us watch it for PHF Cast or Horror Dark, it's not
Yeah.
happening.
Well, we'll talk about PHF Cast real quick. That's a sister show that we have. And we'll get into that when we talk about Horror Dork's history. We have another co-host that does that with us, Bolden, but due to real life responsibilities, he's unable to join us for this show. But this is also something, Horror Dork, something that we started before either one of us knew Golden too. This is a show we used to do together, and then it kind of pod faded. But basically, how kind of Horror Dork started is I had this idea. You know, I was like 2009, I started getting into podcasts, and then 2010, right after college, I just started like really, really, really getting into podcasts a lot. Like that's all I was listening to. I stopped like listening to music on my iPod, and I had a Nano, one of those rectangle ones, and it just got filled with iTunes podcasts. So, and I was listening to a lot of horror stuff because I've been a horror fan for a while, and all of it was the same. They're just talking about new horror movies or classics, you know. And I wanted something that was talking about stuff that was going to be coming out on DVD or was streaming on Netflix because I've always had Netflix. And that was when the streaming, I think, was really, at least for me, I was really starting to watch streaming stuff. But nobody was talking about that really. And I was like, man, I was like, I really want a podcast where I can figure out what is going on with like DVDs. Should I buy it? What's on the DVD? And that's kind of what we started when we did Horror Dork.
Yeah, because with especially with Netflix, it's such a crapshoot. You're not sure. I mean, something could have a really awesome, like piece of artwork on it, and then the movie just stinks, or
Yes.
vice versa. Like one that jumps to my mind is Last Shift. That has a terrible, awful cover art on Netflix on the streaming. So, like, you go to it and you're like, oh, I don't want to watch this. The movie itself is really good.
It is good. In
Like,
fact,
three acts.
I know you're not doing a shameless plug here, but might as well. This last week from this, we did review that on PHF Cast Last Shift, but we
Yes.
also just reviewed another movie by him, which is streaming on Netflix if you want to check it out. It's called Most Likely to Die. It's by the same director.
And I'm probably going to check that out because you, the premise sounds really corny, but you said it's very tongue in cheek, so
Yeah,
I mean,
it's fun. It's
it kind of territory.
the epitome of a B movie. I mean, it's not doing anything different for you. I mean, besides the fact that the killer uses a cap for a weapon, and I can't think of I'm trying to think back on like a lot of like movies where they had like a graduation style killer, and I can only think of a couple, and I really don't recall him using the cap with where it had like blades on it. Yeah, I got
Yeah,
nothing. So it
probably.
seemed original to me. I'm sure someone can correct us on that. But
Oh,
the
I'm sure.
acting is atrocious. It kind of questions me as a director, like, or questions me on my regard as him as a director because Last Shift was so well done. And then this movie, dialogue's awful. The acting, I mean, there's good chemistry and stuff, but the dialogue really ruins a lot of the acting.
Oh, yeah.
Most Likely to Die.
Most likely to die. Yeah.
Yeah. But since we're talking about streaming, before we get into the history of Horror Dork and stuff, I just like to throw out there, I watched another movie tonight that's on Amazon Prime. It just came to streaming about a week ago. It's called The Neon Dead.
The Neon Dead.
Yes.
What's
Have you
that
seen
about?
that?
I have not.
It's a micro-budget independent film. It's kind of got like the heart of Evil Dead in it. I
Okay.
do want to kind of
I
label it
think
as the Manborg of horror films.
we're talking about. Oh, awesome. I
Oh
love me.
yeah. In our private chat, I had put 'cause we have a private chat we do with a couple horror friends. I had put that I was watching it. You assumed I was talking about the Neon Demon.
That's what I thought you were talking about. That was from the guy that directed Drive.
Yeah, no, that's not the movie I was talking about. This is
Yeah,
The Neon
not my
Dead.
real thing. You're talking about a completely different movie. Although
Yes.
the Demon, I think, came out on streaming, not on Netflix, but like video on demand.
Yeah, it's on video on demand right now, and in fact, it comes out on DVD tomorrow.
Awesome. I really want to check that out.
Yeah, me too.
But what's the story for that?
Okay, so the reason why I say it's like the Manborg of horror movies is it's not like all digital effects or anything. It's just low budget, but it's done in such a fun manner. Like I take a lot of it with a grain of salt. And about the worst things you could say about it is that the main actors, the character's name's Desmond, and the girl, her name is fleeting right now. They have weird chemistry interaction. Like their dialogue to react off one another isn't very good. And it happens a couple times throughout the movie. But it's most notable when those two are interacting, and I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's her,
Gotcha.
because there's a couple other scenes where she has some interactions, or she has like a reaction, and it just doesn't feel natural. It kind of stands out. But like I said, it's micro budget, it's independent. You gotta take it with a grain of salt. Don't hold it to the standards of like a big wig movie. At least that's my outlook on a lot of independent films. So essentially, this girl is living in this house by herself. She's looking for a job, and this Girl Scout shows up trying to sell her, I forget what. It's I don't it, just to get her to donate money. And she goes upstairs. Or right before the girl comes over, she's upstairs and she walks into her bathroom because she's getting ready to go to an interview. And she sees this lady in her bathroom combing her hair, but she's like all like gross and gray colored. And she turns around and she has like this claymation looking demonic face.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, it's crazy. And it's bad effects, but it's done funny. Like the movie does not take itself serious at any point. So it cuts to she calls because the Girl Scout tells her like, hey, there's supposed to be zombies that live here, and the main character has slime all over her arms and her face, and then the Girl Scout's like, all right, well, you need to call these guys. They're ghost exterminators, I guess, paranormal exterminators. And she hands him a business card and she ends up calling a store. It's like a supermarket or something. But she gets connected to the video department and that guy's there. And he kind of has a whole like Randall Graves kind of vibe going on.
Gotcha.
And long story short, he goes to take care of whatever ghost problem is once he figures out that's why she's calling. And he has a friend who's like really nerdy and knows a lot about the occult, because the main guy, Desmond, knows nothing about the occult. He just is along for the ride, I guess. And the occult guy just kind of uses him, I guess. But they're like best friends. And so they go, and it ends up being that they find out that there was this necromancer that used to live at her house that she's a descendant of. And he like did all this because there's these weird flashback scenes. And he did all this necromancy stuff for Xanthith, Xanthath, something like that. He's like the main lord, and that's where I said it had like an Cthulhu tied to it because he's like this lord from like another dimension or outer space or something.
Oh.
And he's so all of a sudden all these zombies show up and it's like an Armageddon happening. Except they're not zombies, they're Son of Xanthus or whatever the name is. And the main villain, who they say is her ancestor, brought back, looks like the Joker from Scott Snyder's run where he cut off his face and then put it back on.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, kind of like that, but his mouth is like real, like lights up neon colors and stuff like that. It's fun. It's so much fun. And I really, really, really think it'd be up your alley, especially like you're a fan of bad movies. And this movie has a lot of heart to it, aside from having its bad production qualities. So it's definitely worth checking out, especially if you're in a mood for something fun and lighthearted.
Oh, yeah. I'll for sure be checking that out. I might even check that out after we're done with the show.
Yeah, it's really cool. I really think you'll enjoy that. Is there anything streaming that you've watched recently? That you wanted to talk about? I know we watched The Invitation. I guess we could talk about that here, too, if you wanted to.
Yeah, we watched, for PHF guys, we watched Event Horizon and The Invitation. The Invitation's a newer horror movie. I'd say it leans more into the thriller category than horror. But I thought it was a good movie. The basic gist is this couple loses their son, and they get divorced, and the wife moves away to Mexico for 2 years, and she mysteriously comes back with a boyfriend, and they invite all their friends, including the ex-husband, to a dinner party. And when most of the guests get to the dinner party, weird shit starts happening. And not weird in like a supernatural sense, weird like the ex-wife and her boyfriend have this runaway chick that they befriended in Mexico, and they kind of like imply that she's just like a sex doll.
Yeah, you love pointing that out.
Yeah, it's like this creepy runaway chick.
I mean,
she literally walks up to the main character at some point and asks if they want to fuck, and then she can,
yeah,
she can like. It's bizarre.
She's like, you can hurt me.
And another guest that nobody else knows outside of the hosts is the guy, Twisty the Clown from the Freak Show American Horror Story. He was also the guy that trained Morgan in The Walking Dead.
Yeah, his name was Eastman.
And he's just standing there, he's not even really doing it menacingly, but he just has like that stature, and it's just like his presence is intimidating.
Yeah, and the whole time tension is being built because the main character knows that, or just has this feeling that his ex-wife and her new boyfriend or husband or whatever have like bad intentions for everybody. Like he feels something's wrong. It's not right. And that at some point the night's going to take a bad turn, but none of his friends will listen to him. And a lot of it is honestly because they're being yuppie douchebags, because they like the fact that they're being fed like $1,000 bottle wine and stuff like that.
Yeah. And they're one of the things that's making the ex-husband like on edge, and why he even really starts to think this stuff, is it's revealed that the hosts are in a cult, but they don't really, they don't consider it a cult, which nobody in a cult ever considers, but they're in it as a cult. They just think it's like a spiritual thing. And
yeah.
Then they show this fucking recruitment video where at the end it just shows somebody, like a woman, just slowly passing away. It's not like violently or she's like,
no, like she had been given some kind of poison, or and they said she had cancer, but clearly she was poisoned. That's not spoiling anything. Like it's straight up, you can tell.
Yeah. She didn't. It wasn't natural.
Yeah.
So, and then as the evening goes on. They start to play to know everyone better. They play this game where they say like that they want, and one of the people says that one of the runaway girls, I believe she just wants everyone to like her, and then she plants a kiss on one of the guests, and then the ex-wife said that she's always wanting to kiss this one guy, which I don't know why she wants to kiss this guy.
The ugliest guy there, except for Eastman, or that guy Twisted.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. She plants a big one right on him. One of the other guests says she wants the new boyfriend's some of his cocaine. But so he busts that out. Apparently he's living clean, but he just has the cocaine in the house for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense.
Yeah, I didn't understand that.
And then it gets to the Eastman guy, and he tells a story about how he punched his wife to death.
Yeah, it starts off like a normal story about how he had his wife and he loved her and everything, and they got into a fight. He said it's one of those fights that lasts your whole marriage. It was about the dishes or something. And he said she started on him and he just lost it, and he turned and punched her as hard as he could, and she just collapsed to the floor. And he's talking about how she was like trying to grab at nothing as she was trying to catch her balance and fell to the floor and died. And it's like, this isn't normal shit. And, oh man, it does such a great job of building tension little by little.
Oh yeah, because then how it's shot and how everything, because it's not the main character is the ex-husband, and he's not really a reliable narrator, because he keeps having because the house that they're hosting the party at is the house that him and his wife used to have. So he's having like all these weird flashbacks of
taking baths with his wife.
Yeah, it was odd. But
and this birthday party that all the friends there were at.
Yeah, and that kind of showed how his son died, which is, oh my god, I couldn't even imagine. One of the kids hit him with a baseball bat and killed him.
Yeah,
very bizarre
by accident, but yeah,
yeah. So. You're not sure if he's being paranoid or if there really is weird shit just happening, and he's just like not accepting it, because he really wants, one of the reasons why he went was to get closure for his son's death. And his wife, his ex-wife is just loopy. It doesn't bother her anymore.
And then one of the flashbacks, you learn that she had already tried to kill herself because she couldn't handle the son's death.
Yeah. So, anyways, some other weird shit happens that we don't have to really go into. It's not super important, but he goes outside to, because there's a friend that they keep saying that hasn't shown up. He's typically always late. He's like, he's not coming, and he's kind of concerned because the hosts are acting so fucking weird. He goes outside. He finally gets cell reception. He listens to a voicemail from the friend, which said that he was there early. So he's thinking
yeah.
that they something's happened
and
to him.
And the friend's nowhere to be seen. He wasn't there when they got there. Everyone says
so
they haven't seen him.
During dinner, he confronts them, and he confronts everybody, and he's like, we're getting out of here. This is fucking messed up. And lo and behold,
yeah,
there's
he,
a doorbell.
He adamantly goes after the boyfriend. Like, he's
oh,
like,
yeah, he's
where is he? This is, you're fucking lying. It's weird shit going on here. No, normal people don't have bars on their fucking windows and lock the doors when they have guests and shit like that. And all of a sudden, the doorbell rings. And
yeah,
it's
and
Shogun.
It's the friend. So at this point, you're led to believe that the main character is just fucking losing.
Yeah,
He's
and
seeing things.
Yeah, at that point, and we'll cut it off here because this is a movie that you need to check out on Netflix if you haven't seen it, and you're in the mood for a thriller, because this, it just plays, it kind of, it's not like a total mind fuck, but it definitely plays games with like your thought process and your relationship as a viewer to a movie, and your trust of like a narrator.
And the ending is excellent.
Yes, it is. Yeah, all hell breaks loose. But yeah, so we got about 15 minutes left. Let's just get into back to Horror Dork history here. So I don't remember. I know that, Mr. Sir, you and I met through your wife and my ex-girlfriend.
Yes.
I had met you once at Subway. I had been having trouble getting Horror Dork off the ground. It just was a matter of the people that I was doing the show with were great people, but they weren't necessarily true horror fans, you know? So as far as carrying a conversation with them about horror movies, they didn't have the experience or knowledge to draw off of, or even, which isn't as important, but they didn't have the heart or the, I'm at a loss for words here. Passionate. Yeah, they didn't have the passion to talk about it. And then my ex is like, hey, you know, I know this guy. He's pretty funny. He's a good guy. I think he'd be good for the podcast. I didn't realize she was flat out lying to me. No, I'm just kidding. but yeah, that was you. And I think I had said hi to you once. We had met at Subway briefly. When both of us ran into each other with your wife and my ex. And then I think the first time we ever hung out, you showed up to do Horror Dork. That was the second time
yeah,
I ever talked
watched,
to you.
What did we watch?
Stitches.
It was a clown movie. Yeah, Stitches.
Stitches, yeah.
An episode that never got released.
Which is funny because that was a metaphor, or that was like a long lingering issue with Horror Dork, was the fact that we kept having so many technical issues.
Yeah.
We had the equipment, it's just we were having trouble with Audacity. Most of it was Audacity saving files or, you know, exporting a file or something would crash everything.
Oh, God. Remember Devil's Rejects?
Yes. Like one of our best episodes. We were so pumped. We're waiting for the episode to save, and it crashes. We're like, no.
That was so annoying.
Yeah. But I'm actually curious because...
We used to do the show at like the butt crack, like at like 1 o'clock in the morning. So re-recording,
we would start sometimes at 1 in the morning.
Re-recording it wasn't an option.
No, because I worked. We both worked at restaurants. You got out around like 10 or so. Sometimes you get out at 11, and then I usually always got out at 11. So by the time I got to your house, which was about a half hour away, or you got to my place, it would be like midnight before we could even start the movie. Because we would watch the movie before and then talk about it. Because it would usually, because it was every Tuesday we would talk about whatever new release came out that week. We would pick one, like the hottest title for horror. And then on Thursday, we would have our throwback movie for whatever the theme was for the month.
Yeah, that's something I miss doing with like Horror Dork is doing like we would have like bad sequels or
Yeah.
underrated or I think the best one that we did as far as like the series went were
Guilty pleasures.
Guilty Pleasures for sure. 'Cause you had
Yeah.
we each did two of them, I think.
I had
Jamie
Nightmare
was
City.
the Nightmare City and Dr. Giggles.
Yes.
And then I had Wrong Turn 2
Great
and
movie.
what was the other one?
Pulse, yes,
Pulse,
that's right.
which is the worst movie ever made. The movie is
I
so
mean,
boring. I thought
you can still
but
check out all those old Horror Dark episodes too. They're on Stitcher.
oh yeah, they're all Jamie had like the most surprising one. I Know What You Did Last Summer too. I was
Yeah,
so
that was
surprised.
actually, I was surprised that that was good, yeah.
I knew,
So.
but I knew everyone would like Wrong Turn 2 as much as I did. Because that movie is awesome.
Yeah, Wrong Turn 2. I like most of the Wrong Turn movies, but the first two movies are really good. They kind of go into that territory where they try to outdo each other with the slice in half kill. Because it started
Yeah.
with that girl getting cut, her head getting cut off at the mouth in the first one.
My favorite though is from Wrong Turn 2, Joe Lynch directed movie. Is right at the beginning that act the actress gets sliced down vertically.
The middle. Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Right down the fucking middle. Her guts fall and then her the two halves of her body fall down too. And it's just so great looking. It's such a great looking effect.
But yeah, I'm actually curious because I've never asked you this before. Because we just kind of, when it came to podcasting, we just kind of got together, started working on everything, and just hit the ground running from there. Like, we, even when we weren't doing a podcast for like a year, we still had plans and we still tried a couple different show ideas before we got back into the horror thing, which was PHF Cast, which was Prime Horror Flicks, which is now PHF Cast, which isn't necessarily strictly horror anymore. It is for October.
Yeah,
But
right now it's horror, but normally we only do like one horror movie a month.
yeah, how did you get the invite? How did I extend that to you to do Horror Dork? I don't remember. Or like, what was like your thought process going into everything before you actually showed up?
I honestly, I'm not really sure what I expected. I was too fucking nervous because was Andrew for that one?
Yeah, because we didn't tell him that you were going to be there.
Knew Andrew, but I and Jane, but I literally didn't know anybody else. So I was like being a little over the top, but yeah, I didn't really know what to expect or like what I needed to do. So I just kind of was, I was like an over exaggerated version of myself a little bit, but yeah, I honestly, and the movie we watched was great. Stitches is a fantastic.
Yeah,
We should
it is a
revisit
great
that
movie. We definitely should because it never seen the airwaves anyways.
Yeah, I think it's on. Well, with Horror Dark, we don't necessarily have to do streaming.
No,
I know
that's
it's
something
on.
limited to PHF Cast.
Prime or Hulu. So we'll have
Well, either
to, for
way,
sure.
I own it too because I bought every movie that we did for Horror Dork.
Yeah, for better or for worse.
Yeah, for better or for worse, granted.
Proud owner of Texas Chainsaw.
That's still not as bad as Stranded, though. I bought that piece of shit.
Floating
Floating
Christmas,
Christians. Warning.
the movie that killed the show.
Yeah. We're gonna have to do some special Halloween themed episodes for Horror Dark, and like we're gonna be doing stuff for like future episodes. So like what you can expect is like more live shows. We'll have guests from other podcasts and blogs and stuff on here, and maybe even filmmakers.
Or
Obviously no one big yet.
probably get Kyle from the Keezy Show.
Yeah, for sure. He's anyone who has an interest in horror genre.
Maybe he could get a smoothie. He's got a YouTube channel. And I know he does his name is Brian. His channel, I can't remember. I think it's Smoothie something. I'll plug it on PHF. Yes.
Maybe that. Yeah.
Yeah, he does little vlogs, but he does unboxing videos, and he gets horror DVDs.
He'd be someone that would be perfect, you know.
Yeah, I think he'd be good for the show.
Yeah. Also, I don't remember where I was going.
So you were saying that we're going to do Halloween themed.
Oh yeah, Halloween. I think one cool movie to do, because I bought the Dr. Giggles double pack, and that came with Otis. I think Otis would be a fun movie to talk about.
Okay, I've never seen that one. So.
Oh, you've never seen Otis?
No.
No. You would like Otis. Yes. And I'm going to put this out there, and I know it's mean, but you'll get a huge Andrew vibe from Otis.
Oh, yeah. Well, Andrew's talked about that movie a lot. He really likes that movie.
Yeah, it's one of his favorite movies. Yeah, it's basically this guy gets this crush on this chick, and he keeps her locked in his basement and makes her wear like a cheerleading outfit, and he kind of reenacts high school and stuff.
Poor Lindsay.
who's Andrew's girlfriend?
Yeah, I'm just picking on him.
But yeah, so if you do go back and you check out old episodes of Horror Dark, you will hear Andrew on some of them. He is a co-host. He's an alternate on PHF Cast. So he's on a few episodes on that too. This month, PHF Cast is actually being called Prime Horror Flicks again, because that was the original name for it. And since we're going to horror,
we're celebrating our year anniversary.
Yeah.
Of the show.
Yeah. Technically, PHF Cast still, even though it's not Prime Horror Flicks, it still stands for Prime Hulu Flicks.
Yeah, it doesn't really roll off the tongue if you say what it is. I prefer.
That's why we shortened it to PHF Cast. And I like that PHF is actually in the Urban Dictionary as potentially hot fatty.
Yes, that's what people call me.
Stop. Yeah, your dad's sexy, man.
What are some Halloween-themed movies that we could do, other than Halloween, obviously? I was thinking Trick or Treat.
The Gene Simmons one?
No,
oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, the Michael Dougherty movie? Yeah, for sure. For sure.
The name of the fucking bad guy in that. Sammy something.
Sam.
I can't remember. They talk about it all the time on Purple Stuff. Because the guy from Sexy Armpit is obsessed with that movie. The Gene Simmons movie. Where Gene Simmons and Ozzy are in the movie. They're advertised. They're on all the box art. They're advertised as like the stars of the movie. And they're literally in the movie for maybe 10 seconds. On TV. In the background.
Uh-huh.
Terrible. That movie is so stupid to me. I mean, we can watch it for sure. I mean, it's been a long time since I watched it. Maybe my opinion has changed. But the Trick or Treat movie I was talking about is...
Oh, yeah. You know, no, it's definitely... man, I cannot think of his name.
Yeah, I can't think of it
either. And
there's
probably like a... There's anybody listening is probably screaming into their headphones or iPod
sure.
or whatever they're listening.
And it's funny because I literally just listened to the last Purple Stuff the other day, and they did another Spooky Songs countdown, and one of the songs was from the movie. It's like one of the original character things.
Gotcha. Yeah, I that would I'm trying to think of other movies that we could do. I mean, horror theme, like there's so many movies, and I'm trying and like movies that I watch around the time, like Pet Sematary 2 as a kid, I always watched around Halloween time. I don't know why. It was just one of those movies that I liked popping in.
I mean, there's so many good horror movies that are just like, they don't even aren't even themed Halloween, but just like, just watching it just brings you back and just like get you all pumped for the season.
For sure. Man, I just realized that I bought a copy of The Fly today and I already owned it.
Oh shit!
For some reason, I
Which one?
thought I didn't own that movie. Yeah, the Cronenberg one. Because I remember I was like,
Is one of the best movies. We literally just talked about that movie yesterday on PHF Cast.
yeah, that's why I bought it because I didn't think that I owned it. I wanted to rewatch it, but I wanted to watch the special features on it. And I seen it at Walmart. It was $5 for the DVD, and I had a bunch of special features. I was like, all right, well, this is one of the movies I always wanted to buy, and I never did. And I do. I have it on Blu-ray. I have that collector's edition thingy that they put out. God damn, I hate myself sometimes.
I know what we could do for next week. Let's brainstorm on some Halloween themed movies. Movies that just get us pumped for the Halloween season. We can
Okay,
each
yeah,
give
that.
we can give like five.
Yeah, that would be perfect.
I know it looks like we only got like 2 minutes left.
Yeah, we're getting ready to wrap up here. I guess we could still talk for a couple minutes. Like Texas Chainsaw, I know is one of your favorite movies. I don't know if that's a Halloween movie for you or not. I mean, Texas Chainsaw
Chainsaw Massacre, the
Massacre.
original one. Also,
Yeah.
part two is also acceptable.
Yes. Do your thing, cuz.
Because so bad.
Man.
Makes no
I
sense.
got to thinking about that the other day because there's the part where Leatherface goes in, puts the chainsaw up next to her face, and then she freaks out and starts screaming, "I'm your cousin. It's me." It's like, you're going to accept
Lit.
it because you're afraid he's going to kill you? And now he's going to rescue you? I don't know. It's such the. I know I'm like, it's dumb to try
Most
to pick that
egregious
movie apart because it makes no sense.
is that they tried that movie, they tried to just erase the events of any other Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie other than the first one.
Right.
Because apparently, with everyone was killed or whatever, except for the little girl and Leatherface locked in a house for 30 years or whatever.
And I don't know. It's weird.
Which makes the main character the oldest teenager alive.
Yeah, because she's like 22, but she should be like 36 or something in the movie.
Should be way older.
Because it was like in the 70s or something when the beginning's taking place and she's a baby.
It takes place right after, like almost not, like almost right after the events of the first original movie. And then
Right.
as it takes place in modern time, which is like 2000. So she'd be 36. It
Yeah.
just makes no sense. It's so dumb.
Yeah, but well, all right. Well, we're about getting ready to leave here. So be sure to check us out on Facebook. It's / Horror Dork. And listen to the PHF cast. You can find that on iTunes. The show should be on iTunes too if you haven't found it there or Stitcher. So yeah, so have a good night and we'll see you next week.
All right, bye.
Yeah.